Valerie Van Isler, who is the former station manager of WBAI. And just wanted to ask you some questions about how this all began, because in the beginning it was Utrecia Lee, who I've had several conversations with, said on several occasions that she was going to notify Pacifica to get rid of you. Even though I told her what the consequences would be, which is what we're living in right now. Do you have any idea of what she was talking about, why she was so upset with you?
I believe that goes back to the very important work that we were doing there and the search that we were doing there for a new program director. I had hired and supported Samori Marksman in 1994, and unfortunately Samori, who had just done magnificent work for the station, including the first $1 million membership drive we'd ever done, passed on in March. And at that point it was the consensus of the staff and many others that you be the program administrator, and you took on that role. And you've worked very, very hard, both in terms of wake up call in the morning show and the program director responsibilities, until we started conducting the official search. We had more than 35 plus candidates. The candidates were interviewed. A committee of 9 people was formed from the paid staff, the unpaid staff, and also from the local board. They went through that process, and it was a very conflicted process, one that was in many, many respects tainted. The outcome of that was a recommendation only, because the general manager has the responsibility and the right to do that management hire. I looked at the results. I reviewed the recommendation very, very carefully, and after thinking about the needs of the station, the work that we had to do, the broadcast skills that were required, the technical skills that were required, the community depth and outreach, and the knowledge of radio, I asked you to come on as program director, an assignment that you did not accept right away. You thought about it. You asked for input. You finally accepted that job. One of the candidates for that position was, in fact, Utrecia Lee. It was my view, and remains my view, that she had neither the broadcast experience, nor the skills, nor the production work, nor the in-depth knowledge of radio for that position. You came on into that role. We went through the May membership drive, where we reached our goal. We went through a wonderful summer fund, where we reached our goal. We just did a magnificent October membership drive, the highest ever in the fall history of WBAI, where we exceeded our goal under the programming leadership that you brought to WBAI. So yes, there is some history here. More importantly, there is a 10-year history of work. You've been at the station for over 20 years. I've been at the station for more than 22. I'm sorry that we have to put that in past tense. I don't want to, and in fact, I shan't. But during that time, we have seen a number of changes, a great many changes in WBAI. I became general manager there in 1990, and it's very interesting that we are here in 1991. I'm taking it back 10 years, because that was during the first part of my term, and the Gulf War started. And we did some very special programming with your help and many people's help during that during that very year, which, number one, helped us to get out of the $200,000 or $300,000 debt that I came in with, inherited from a past administration. We did very, very special programming. We generated a huge audience response, because we really did some special things that nobody else was doing in covering that conflict. And here on the anniversary, in fact today, 10 years later, I have just seen our Arbitron reports and the work that we did together in 1999 through the fall of 2000. In fact, we have just reached the highest audience levels that we did since the Gulf War. Our cumulative audience is over 200,000 strong.
our metro, that's our metro audience, our total state audience is over 212,000. These are the these are higher numbers, in fact, than we achieved during the Gulf War. So in this period of fall 2000, when we were working on membership drives, when we were trying to deal with things where people didn't cooperate and didn't participate as fully as they were required to, when we had problems with our telephone system and our computer system, in fact, that broke down, we not only did the work, but we have achieved an audience growth that is the highest of any Pacifica station, and those results came out this week. We did the work. We balanced the budget. We paid down the past debt in 2 years from a move where we worked so hard for 24 years to get WBAI a new home, where we developed and ran a capital campaign to raise that money, where we asked for listener support, and they generously brought that support to us. Worked for thousands and thousands of hours on the brand new studios that were to be WBAI's new home. We built that facility. You and Amy and I and Robert and many, 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 hundreds of others, with our blood, with our sweat, and with our dreams. And that very facility that we worked so hard for and paid so dearly for, we are now banned from. There's it's a interesting arc of 10 years here. BAI has never been without problems. It is the most complex and the most difficult station. In the 10 years as general manager there, we made it the biggest station in Pacifica and one of the leading stations in community radio. It is respected across the board for our integrity, for our programming, and during that 10 years, I went back to the records of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. I'm a national director for them, advocating and working for community radio stations, 200, 300, 400 of them all across this country, and this is my second term. We won more than 40 programming awards during those 10 years. Did WBAI do its work? We did our work massively. More awards than any other Pacifica station, almost more than them all combined. So in terms of audience growth, in terms of programming awards, national programming stuff, in national competitions where we're up against big stations and small stations, we not only hit the benchmark, but exceeded it in every respect.
Mm-hmm. Well, given all of that, why do you feel that, what do you feel was Pacifica's motivation in removing you?
That is more than a bit hard to read, because when the routine evaluation and the schedule was developed by Bessie Walsh, the executive director, and sent to us right before Thanksgiving, I felt very, very confident. We had done these wonderful things. We knew from the finance reports that we had balanced the budget, that we had, in fact, a $71,000 surplus. We were going into this year prepared to grow, prepared to breathe, and for the first time, really, we're going to be able to move that station very, very far ahead, very quickly, since the time of our move in June of 1998. Instead of doing that, she began talking to me immediately, not mentioning the word review, evaluation, or performance, about some other job in Washington, some other job that no one ever knew about, that was not funded as far as anybody was concerned. And my first question was why? Given the fact that we had hit the benchmarks and WBAI had done its work, and had done its work magnificently with the help of all the staff. She never gave me an answer. The response was always, it's personnel and confidential. Well, I'm the personnel, and I never got an answer. Staff asked this question. They were the personnel. They never got an answer. What does it go back to? I've talked to many of the former executive directors with whom I worked during these 10 years and even before that. It is their view that no decision like this is made without the backing, knowledge, and support, not of the entire board, because most of the board, as far as I'm concerned and as far as Dave told me, did not know about this move, did not know about this contemplated dismissal, knew nothing about it, in fact. However, the executive committee, which is a small, really controlling body within the Pacifica National Board, probably knew, according to past executive directors, and that's where this entire momentum may have come from. Ms. Washit denied that. She said she made this decision on her own, and it was an operational decision. Others say to the contrary, that you don't do a move like this, which placed the station in complete jeopardy. I was given 2 days to decide about some job that didn't exist and the future and the present of WBAI. Without question, because we have never betrayed that station, we have always worked for it, 7 and more days a week, that we would never betray WBAI, that the stand was there because we understood what was at stake, our present and our future. And as the terrible lockdown and lockout and the what is called the Christmas coup demonstrated, it was about other staff there, which we said from the start. It was about the programming, which was immediately attacked. And this is programming that has been award-winning in every respect. Wake Up Call, the Betty Shabazz interview, a Golden Reel winner. Amy Goodman, East Timor, DuPont, Robert F. Kennedy, a Golden Reel winner. I could name all 40 of them. But let that suffice as an example of the extraordinary work that we have been able to do in these 10 years. And with WBAI ready to take off, having cleared the decks there, we were in a position to do some really, really important work. And then they decided to move. Mm-hmm. I don't think that, again, there's a connection here with the national board, which has not fulfilled and is not fulfilling the mission of the Pacific Organization, nor the charter, one in which we so deeply believe, and that has kept us here for the past 2 decades.
You're listening to Radio Vision. I'm your host, Bernard White, here today with Ursula Rutenberg, who is a volunteer, someone who's been locked out of WBAI, as well as Valerie Van Isler, who was a station manager at WBAI. Before I go back to Ursula to find out about this whole Fight Back campaign, are there any regrets that you have? Do you think that there might have been some things that you could have done a little differently, that because it seemed like one of the things that Utrecht Lead was able to do was to galvanize a handful of people, not the majority of the staff, but a handful of people around the idea of eliminating you from WBAI.
I think over 10 years, with as difficult and as complex and as rich and as vibrant a station as WBAI, there are just wonderful opportunities to do many things right and well, and there are also opportunities not taken that should have been. I would say on the whole that in terms of working with the staff, there are 200 producers, 150 producers there. It was a relationship not only of warmth but of real support, because they were on our air helping with the fundraising. I see them in the hallway. I saw them on Saturday. I saw them on Sunday. Looking back, yes, there were things that we needed to do better and stronger. You know, no one has ever claimed to be a St. Teresa here, much less in Pacifica. I am the only female minority general manager that station has ever had, and that was very difficult in the beginning when I started. The station now does not look like what it was in the 1980s or in 1990. I made a full and real commitment to affirmative action and equal opportunity so that the station would reflect the city. BAI did not look like that in the 1960s, nor the 1970s, nor even the 1980s. So many, many things I think were done right and well and based on principle, because it's the principle here. We are 3 days away from the anniversary, the holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said very clearly in one of the wonderful speeches that if you're not willing to live on principle and for principles, then you're dead already. Our work at WBAI has always been to nurture and keep that station alive, because the service to the community was the most important thing to us. At no time during these 10 years have we banned people. At no time have we had that station closed to people. We have had elderly groups, we have had seniors, we have had students, we have had high school tours, we have had foreign journalists come in there to enjoy the station, learn about it. We've talked to them, we've spoken to them, because as a community radio station, which is our license, what is it not if it is not completely open to access? and to the community, not just in New York City, but the nation and the world. And we made it that way. It is no longer, I believe, can be called a community station.
Okay. Ursula Rutenberg, you have been involved in the fight back. In fact, you have been one of the folks responsible for getting information out to people about just what's been going on. Could you tell our viewers just what are some of the things that have been happening in the fight back effort?
I think the fight back effort in some ways can be broken down into two main areas of focus. I think that the actions that are being taken now at the station and by Pacifica on a national basis have to be protested, they have to be resisted, and strategically answered as they occur. There are abuses, there are violations happening regularly, they continue to happen, and they need to be responded to. The other area, I think, is that is equally important, is that we are an activist radio station. That's the heart of what our mission is. And so the Fight Back movement is really about building coalitions, community coalitions, to really actively pursue that mission of activism, so that BAI really does represent on a daily and community basis the activist principle. And to use this coalition building to really consolidate and to clarify this voice that says that this kind of a mission is valid today in America, and that it's not something that belongs to the past, that belongs to the anti-war movement or the civil rights movement as it was in the past, that today activism is as real and important a part of American dialogue as anything else. And this is really a process of building community in a more active way than it has been before this happened.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm impressed by is that this has seemed to ignite our community.
Yes.
That across the city, excuse me, in our listening area, that this is the conversation that people are having.
Yes.
That people want to do something, that some of the...
Yes.
Community organizers who have been dormant
mm-hmm.
have been regenerated and are now out trying their best to figure out some way of resolving this issue. And one of the unintended consequences, I guess, of this is that people have begun to move again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think something that those people that on Pacifica that want to change the mission of BAI and the other Pacifica stations might not fully have appreciated that this station has for many, many years educated its listeners and taught them to think and to act. And so the response to these abuses that are happening now is an intelligent and active one. And it's intergenerational. It's at all ages. There's a whole new generation of young people who have reaped the benefit of this information, that understand this on a level that I don't think we even did when we were younger. And I think it's amazing to me the energy and the commitment that is being expressed now on a daily basis. And, you know, I've asked myself several times, what is the energy that's driving this endless willingness that I see on people's part to just really work with this and to struggle? And I really think that underneath, what I keep hearing again and again is gratitude. That there's incredible gratitude that so many people have for what Pacifica has done. And I share that feeling too. I'm very aware that sitting here today, I have the privilege of speaking for the listeners. And I'm aware that I am expressing a sentiment that many, many, many people have. This incredible gratitude for a station, for a network, that for years and years gave us the truth. And now that gratitude is being turned around in terms of a willingness and a desire to defend what those principles were and the people and the institution that gave it to us. So in a way, the energy now has been given over to the people to come back and to hold the vision when the organization itself seems to be faltering.
There's an activity planned this afternoon.
Yes.
And what is the phone number that people can call if they're interested in getting involved?
You got me there. It's
1-800-825-0055. I thought you had this at your fingertips.
That's how much. That's
I'm at the other end of the phone.
Okay, yeah, you're the recipient of the calls. It's 800-825-0055. That's the number that you can call.
Thank you.
Once again, 800-825-0055. And there's going to be an activity this afternoon.
Yes, today at 4 o'clock from 4 to 7, we will be having another demonstration in front of Pacifica, or in front of WBAI, which is at 120 Wall Street. And that's at the east end of Wall Street. We'll be demonstrating in front of the station. And it's very important that people continue to come and demonstrate to the current leadership of BAI that we object to what's happening. We do not accept it. And if you can't come exactly at 4, that's all right. We're going until 7 because we understand that some people work.
Mm-hmm. Valerie Van Isler, we've come to pretty close to the end of the program. Do you have any closing statements?
Yes, WBAI. And the other stations, but particularly our BAI in New York, funded by the listeners, built by the listeners, supported by the listeners, is a jewel beyond compare. Everything is at stake in this struggle, which is not a new one. It's more intense now than I believe it's ever been since 1977. That jewel is at stake. People must do all that they can, whatever they can, taking what means are necessary to preserve and to protect WBAI. This is not just a local story, although there are pieces in the New York Times today, there are two pieces in the Village Voice, and I did a count. There have been 5 or 6 pieces in Newsday, Current, the Washington Post, the San Francisco Bay Guardian. This is a national story. And because we are streaming on the internet, something that we brought in about 2 years ago, it is really an international story. BAI is recognized for the integrity, the quality, and the grit of its programming, that grain of honesty, that grain of truth that we always had there as part of our hallmark. That tradition needs to continue. The fired and the banned need to be returned. This is not the kind of atmosphere, this is not the kind of situation that we can have when we have major battles to fight over the next 4 years, as we fought them in 1996 when the Republicans came in that time and threatened all of public broadcasting, but especially Pacifica Radio, and especially a place like WBAI.
Okay.
So the stakes here are maximum.
Okay.
And the stakes require commitment.
Ursula and Valerie, I want to thank you both. Perhaps we can go out with a flavor of what is being played over the air at WBAI. We do have an excerpt from an encounter that took place, was it this past Monday?
Yes.
This past Monday. Perhaps we can go out with that. As I said, I do want to thank you. And maybe we can impose that over the fight back, that the gathering that we started out with. And you have been listening to Radio Vision. My name is Bernard White. Our guest today, Ursula Rutenberg, who's a community organizer now, as well as a listener, and Valerie Van Isler, former station manager at WBAI. My name is Bernard White.
And the New York Morning here at Wake Up Call, the morning show, Clayton.